Okay, I really would like to thank Pastor for the opportunity to share a topic that I've been burdened about for several years now, one that I believe is very important, one I believe is very applicable for our culture today, and for our life and living in Christ as well. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. This will be, as an introduction, it's going to seem at first perhaps to be a little all over the place. I hope it doesn't come across that way, but I realize the potential of that happening. And we will get to this passage eventually, but I do want to kind of set the stage, to use an entertainment analogy, for the specifics of our coming study together in the next several weeks. I believe, as I mentioned, that this topic has a huge impact on our culture today and on the hearts of God's people. This is an opportunity for us to specifically apply what we heard this morning, walking worthy of the vocation to which we are called. And we're going to be seeing that theme as we go through this, not just tonight, but all the way through the study. I shared this with the teens probably about a year and a half ago now. And just so the teens know, I have switched it up a little bit. There's some new info in here. So you don't get the night off, okay? Just as we were reminded in Sunday school this morning. Tonight, I just want to spend some time in introduction and set the stage, as I mentioned. And we'll look at some more of the more specific branches of this topic in the weeks to come. This won't be an exhaustive study in the least, either topically or scripturally, because I believe that Scripture has a ton to say that we can apply to this particular area of our entertainment choices. We'll take a break for the business meeting on the 22nd and then come back for the final three sessions after that. But I hope it's something that will be an encouragement to us, a challenge to us, and I hope we go into it prepared to make changes if necessary. And I think a good place for us to start is to ask the Lord for grace and help in that as we tackle this together. So let's pray and ask Him for that now. Father, we thank You for Your Word and how it provides everything we need to know in order to make discerning biblical decisions in a life that brings glory to You. We know that that's why we're here, that's why we were created, and we pray that even in this specific area that You would give us wisdom to know how we can do that in a more effective way for Your glory. Help us to set aside ourselves and look at Your Word for what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. And yes, it can be a miserable existence at times. In fact, I appreciate the Popwells sharing that that interest, because if you're all alone in that, it can be very discouraging. But the first game of the year, we're in the playoffs now for the National Football League. The first game of the year back in September, I remember my wife and I were sitting in the living room watching that game. And first game of the season, high hopes for the year to come and so forth. Don't know why we keep getting our hopes up every year, but nevertheless, that was the case. Typical fan stuff. Early in the game, the team played very well, but as the game progressed into the third quarter and the fourth quarter, they actually gave up the lead. And, of course, during this time, I was experiencing the whole emotional roller coaster of being a fan during a game while you're watching it there. All the ups and downs, the excitement, the discouragement, depending on what's going on at that particular time. It was a very entertaining game, a very intense game. It came down to 30 seconds left, and the Jags had the ball at about midfield, which, as many of you know, is a tough task to be able to come back after being 4 points down in that game at that point to come and win that game. But basically, with that amount of time left on the clock, our quarterback heaved up a desperation Hail Mary type of play, and somehow, miraculously, the receiver caught the ball in the first place, which is rare, and then somehow miraculously fell into the end zone. Touchdown. Jaguars up by 3 with under 30 seconds to go. And I exploded off that couch. Scared the cat half to death. My wife looks at me like, whoa, slow down there, partner, you know. Take it easy. And, of course, that was my reaction. Absolute excitement. Now, the Jags did go on to lose that game in overtime because that's what the Jags do. But as I was sitting there afterwards, thinking over the events of that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, I realized that there was a big time emotional and mental and even spiritual impact to a certain extent that was brought on my life due to my choice to allow that entertaining time into my life. That had an impact on me. A spiritual effect in a simple form of entertainment through a TV screen could impact me in that way. It was a little surprising, and I had to do a little bit of a gut check on that. Not that it's wrong to get excited about a football game, but I still had to admit that probably my emotions and the impact that it had on me mentally, and even the response to losing that game and the feeling that it gave me of emptiness and other feelings as well, that displayed perhaps a potential problem. There's some power in entertainment, isn't there? I think all of us can admit that. And just to kind of show the sheer volume of entertainment that is in our world today and the effect that it's having across a broad spectrum of people, I've prepared a little exercise. I actually did this with the teens as well. It was more of a game show kind of a feel to kind of get them into it a little bit. We won't do that unless some of our guests think that we play games during Building Believers here at Cornerstone. But it's just a bit of a trivia kind of a thing to reveal to us the power and the impact of entertainment on our society in the world in which we live. So here's a couple questions. Just see there if in your seat, silently please, if you can guess some of the answers to some of these questions. First of all, what is the most watched event ever on television? The most watched TV event ever. And the answer is the 2008 China Olympics opening ceremony. We had, 6 years ago now, I guess it was, we had Josh and Liz Burrow over to watch that with us. And Josh and I provided excellent color commentary throughout the evening of the amazing show that China put on for the world in that Olympics opening ceremony. 984 million confirmed viewers. That's a lot of eyeballs, but even it could be as estimated as high as 2 billion people potentially watched a portion and tuned in at some point to that display in China 6 years ago. What about this one? The most watched telecast in U.S. history, making it a little bit smaller. Now, a lot of you know what this is already because it's the case every year. It's the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl 46. Last year, 111.3 million viewers. That's up a percentage point from the year before. In fact, to show you how much America has gone crazy for football, 8 of the top 10 most watched programs in the last 25 years have been Super Bowls. America loves their sports. What about this one? Most watched multi-episode TV show of 2012. This is last year, and of course, multi-episode means that it's some sort of a season. And we're taking the average on a week-to-week basis, and the answer, some of you may be able to guess, is American Idol. American Idol. As of November 25th, 2012, it averaged over 18 million viewers. In fact, if you combine the times when they actually have the show twice a week, Wednesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Thursday, depending on where they are, in the progress of the competition, as many as 35 million viewers averaged weekly viewing on that, if you combine those two nights. Whatever the case, it's clear that America has also gone crazy for American Idol. What about this one? Top trending TV show of 2012. And according to Google, a trending show is just Google gauging interest online through searches about this particular show or online viewing of previous episodes and so forth. And the answer is, here comes Honey Boo Boo. Okay? This is how far we have fallen, ladies and gentlemen. Next one. Best-selling video game franchise ever. Best-selling video game franchise ever. And the answer is Mario. Okay? Mario's been around for a long time. do some stats on that. 34 games in the franchise overall, which is amazing, the longevity of how this franchise has stayed so popular. Overall, when you put those all together, over 290 million units sold of various Mario games in that franchise. Next one, highest grossing film of all time. In other words, the film that brought in the most box office sales, people coming to watch this film. Pretty recent film, back in 2009, Avatar. Avatar, $2.782 billion of revenue from this film, according to box office sources. People spent a lot of money basically going to see big blue aliens fly around and fight space troopers for a couple hours, which is basically what happens in that movie. Okay? But here's a concerning question as we view this. And before I go into that, I want to share some others because it seems like we have narrowed our topic so far to TV and internet and video games and movies and so forth. But we want to broaden that a little bit, as you see in a second. Here's some other interesting facts about our entertainment world. Facebook is a great example of how entertainment through social media has exploded. Facebook topped $1 billion in net income for the first time in 2011. In the U.S., this was actually a little low. I was a little surprised by this number, but 50.3% of people in the U.S. are monthly active users. But worldwide, 845 million people are active users, active monthly users. And we have just recently, my brother and I have convinced my parents to be a part of that. So they are catching up on the ways of the world here, and we're encouraging them to do that so we can stay in contact with them. A potentially wonderful tool in a lot of ways, but how it has taken the world by storm. In fact, Facebook represents one-fifth of all page views on the World Wide Web. Now, that's a pretty amazing stat as well. Now, these numbers are staggering, aren't they? And they provide a telling tale of the priorities of our culture, not just in America, but worldwide culture. Nothing inherently wrong necessarily with the Summer Olympics or the Super Bowl or Mario or Facebook or some of these other things in and of themselves, although you could argue some of the issues, some of the other items that we viewed in that display have some potential problems built in. But as pilgrims on this earth, as citizens of a different kingdom, and I think we would all agree that as believers, if that is true in your heart, Christ is your Savior, you are a growing Christian, you're a pilgrim on this earth. You have a different focus. You are citizens of a different kingdom. We need to ask this concerning question about this topic, just as we would do about any similar topic that seems to be a little bit of a gray area. What impact is it having on us? What is this pervasive aspect of our culture? How is it impacting us? And I would suggest, and again, this is just a suggestion, this is my opinion, you can't quantify this with stats or anything like that. But I would suggest that there's a potential problem in the hearts of American believers. In fact, I'd venture to say that it could be the most subtle tool that Satan is using to limit our effectiveness in being lights to the world and in bringing glory to Him, bringing glory to God, which is the reason that we're living and breathing right now and the reason He has saved us. And this is one of those areas like music, as Pastor has led us in a study on before, dress, perhaps even more so, and other standard related topics that can get a little exciting when we talk about them. There can be some defensiveness that shows up. We often set these topics aside as gray areas, right? Areas where they're really not as important as some of the other things, and certainly they're not doctrinal in importance. But sometimes we go so far as to say that they are somehow untouchable for us to address, other than perhaps in very broad terms. And I would suggest that in most of those areas, when it comes to Scripture giving us what we need in order to know how to live in those particular issues, I don't know if those areas are nearly as gray as we would like to think they are. Now, they still are, but I think sometimes our desires, our likes and dislikes can sometimes get in the way and cloud our thinking as when we look at Scripture through that lens. God has given us some rather specific guidelines for kingdom living in His Word. And they make us feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. And that's not a bad thing. That's motivation for growth. That's seeing God's truth and seeing how our lives match up with God's truth. And then changing in that particular area in light of what we see. That is a good exercise. It's not easy. It's no fun. But it's important. It's good. And for an effective study, we need to kind of properly set the stage a little bit. We need to define our terms. We need to set up some goals, because we could really easily go far afield on a topic like this. There's so much that we could talk about. And like many other issues that we face, it demands discernment. This topic is not a simple one. But by God's grace, we can attack it scripturally and therefore be properly equipped to live in these particular ways in a way that glorifies God with His help and through His wisdom. When we think of entertainment, our minds a lot of times go straight to the things that we looked at a little bit earlier in our little exercise. TV, movies, internet, those types of things. And that's certainly a huge part of what we'll be discussing. But I think we have the opportunity to think a little bit more broadly as we go through this study together. And here's the definition. This is actually from a book titled Upright Downtime by Dr. Brian Hand. And this is the title that he compiled, or the definition he compiled for entertainment. And it's a good one because it's clear, it's complete, and it's an excellent excellent in its pertinence for our study in the weeks to come. And any action that is calculated to provide diversion, pleasure, interest, or amusement. And the word calculated here is emphasized for a very specific reason, and this is why. Entertainment is by its very nature a deliberate decision. It is a choice that is made when we choose to entertain ourselves. It's a deliberate choice we make to fill otherwise idle time with various means of amusement or interest, interests that we have, hobbies, recreation, and so forth. This includes what we would normally think of as entertainment, right? The things we discussed earlier, TV, movies, gaming, the internet, issues that teens, when they go to camp, hear a lot of preaching about, right? Those are the things that our thoughts would go to right at first. But I think we can broaden that some, as I've been saying, and this is how. It could also include broader categories under this definition. Hobbies, leisure, recreation, sports, either direct involvement in sports or watching the sports, like we talked about earlier. Now, there are some misconceptions about entertainment, potential misconceptions on both sides of the spectrum. And we'll look at those here in the next slide, but I want us to realize and remember as we go through the study the broadness of this topic and how many different specific areas we can apply God's Word as we look at it in the weeks to come. To apply to this topic. Let's discuss a little bit of the misconceptions here. And our goal has to be to find, with the Spirit's help, a true biblical balance. That's our goal. In these areas that still, even though they may not be as gray as we like to think they are still gray areas. There's room here for conviction and standard setting and interpretation through a discerning eye. That's our goal. But as we look here, we need to find that biblical balance. We could move forward with these stances on either side. We'll discuss maybe a more right-wing, if you will, approach to this, and then a real hard left-wing approach to this, a much more liberal, spiritual liberty, Christian liberty view of this, if you will. So we'll start on the first side and then end with the latter. First of all, we could hold these opinions. We like to blast entertainment. And remember, broadness of the category. Blast entertainment as having no value at all. That it fries your mind. My granddad used to tell me that, actually. That stuff will fry your mind, kid. Stay away from that, right? It'll cause you to turn off your mind. Cause you to go on autopilot. After all, that's the meaning of the word amuse, right? The word amuse literally means, technically means an absence of thought. Stuff will fry your mind. This one is probably fresh on a lot of minds around the country because of violence that we have seen occur with guns and so forth. that our entertainment alone is at fault for a lot of the problems in the world. For instance, the violence of video games is causing these young men and so forth to go out and do these horrible things and commit these horrible, atrocious crimes. And I'm not going to wander into that argument other than to say that that opinion fails ultimately to hold sinful man ultimately as responsible for his actions, whether that means individually or as a culture, corporately as a culture. And of course, the natural end of this stance is complete withdrawal from all forms. No matter how mundane or seemingly harmless they may be. Now remember, again, I want to put this caveat in there again, our broad definition of entertainment. It refers to actions more broadly than just TV and the like. Some families have chosen that it be best if there is no TV in the home. It is best that they avoid some of those entertainment choices that we would naturally think of as entertainment. And I would say that's a valid decision if they have based that scripturally on what is best for their family. So again, this extreme view is saying that any form of amusement, entertainment, recreation, anything like that has no place. But there's also another side to this. We'll move on here if our clicker will allow us. Okay, here we go. Must avoid this other extreme as well. A full obsession, a full immersion of life into these entertainment choices. A full obsession with entertaining ourselves, where it's actually what we live for. We can't wait for that next opportunity to fill our minds with this entertainment that we choose for ourselves. Our lives are built around entertainment and leisure. Our schedule is based on it in every case. That would be an extreme that we would also need to avoid. Those with this view would probably willingly jump into all types of entertainment, any kind, without any reservation, without any concern, without any boundary. Unreserved acceptance. And that opinion, of course, can naturally lead to the result where there's a very defensive attitude. As a revolt against any form of restriction, a strong taste for any exterior imposed guidelines that in any way limit that pursuit of full immersion into entertainment and making it the idol of one's life. And ultimately it leads to that defensive spirit when authorities or fellow believers come with concern. There's very much a defensive attitude that we are all capable of if we would follow this other end of the spectrum and those opinions. Now, I think we would agree that neither of these views are truly balanced biblically. And we are getting to Scripture. We are getting to that. We have got to start and end there. And that's what we're going to do. We're continuing to set the stage. First of all, there's some value probably to entertaining ourselves to a certain extent. In the broader defined sense of the term. We'll see next week, early in the study, as kind of a PS to the introduction this week, because we likely won't have time to get to it this week, pleasure in Scripture. How pleasure within God's guidelines is pictured as a good thing in all different types of forms, but pleasure that steps out of God's boundaries are problematic. And we'll look at that next week. And then on a practical secular level, we could talk about the educational value of some entertainment. We could talk about the relational value that happens frequently here amongst this church body, where folks get together around certain hobbies or interests or other things and enjoy each other's company and grow together, even have fellowship, true fellowship as a result of gathering around those things. There's a certain recharging value. We need rest. And recuperation from busyness from time to time. Those things can have some value. They can be valid uses for entertainment. But as we can also see, there is a lot of danger in certain forms of entertainment. How important we make them in our lives. And we have to ask God for wisdom to find that balance. And now we begin to dig into how we're going to do that scripturally. This is my goal. And should be our goal as we go throughout this study together. And it can be summed up in one word, and that word is discernment. It's a very important action, a very important exercise for God's people to use day in and day out. We know what it is, but on many levels, it's really a lost art in many of our lives, in our Western culture that we live in. And our responsibility is to establish a biblical habit of discernment in issues and topics that Scripture may not directly address in specific forms. Scripture does address it, but perhaps not specifically. And that is where biblical discernment comes in. And this is what biblical discernment looks like. And this is what we'll have to exercise. What we must first of all do in the process is to avoid, to set aside that defensive spirit that we just talked about. We must avoid it at all cost. Ask the Lord for grace through this study to set aside that defensive spirit and to come with a palms up attitude. Lord, what are you going to show me from your word tonight and how I can change in this particular area? And the second requirement in discernment is to let Scripture speak. Let it say what it says. Don't look for a way out because you like what you like. That's a tendency for all of us. We have to let Scripture speak. There's a temptation to have this idea, and maybe you've heard someone say this before, show me a verse or get off my back, right? Or something along those lines. And we've heard that before. We may have thought that before also. When Scripture doesn't always work that way. God has not only given us specific commands, by the way, some of those we are going to see apply to entertainment as we go through this study, specific commands. But God doesn't just provide those for us. Do you believe that God has given us all we need to live a life that glorifies Him? Of course we would say we believe that. But we need to make biblical decisions in our entertainment and some of these other areas. We can broaden this applicationally to anything that seems to be a little bit gray. And it's our goal in each issue that we'll study together that we'll look at Scripture. We'll reach a point of agreement about what that Scripture says about these topics. And then we'll move on to these steps. Find the timeless principles. Often that provision of God for our daily life shows itself in these timeless principles. Big picture principles that require an honest assessment and wisdom from Him for us to apply specifically. And that's the final step. In the applicational side, we have to ask the Lord for wisdom. I'm not saying set aside our standards. I'm rather making sure that those standards align with what God's Word says. He promises that wisdom. James 1:5. If you lack that wisdom, ask it of me because I provide it for you freely. I don't hold back. God provides wisdom in life's decisions. In this case, in our context, in the area of discernment. But He also demands that we pursue that wisdom. The book of Proverbs is full of references on that topic. Go and get wisdom. Pursue wisdom. With all you're pursuing, pursue that understanding. That skill in godly living, which is what we need to make discerning choices. We are to pursue that wisdom. So we have a responsibility there too. We'll have to be honest with ourselves by looking at our entertainment choices through God's principle lens. Those of you in ABF may recognize this three-step process that we're using there. The observe, the interpret, the respond. Observing what God's Word says, pulling out those timeless principles and throwing them back at life and saying, I need to respond to this and apply this and change as a result of what I see in these timeless principles. Now, I want to make it very clear that specifics of that application in this topic and in some others, they still do fall to a certain extent into the conviction and personal standard category. And that's the way it needs to be. This will not be a study where we'll blast specifics, where we will hit on particular choices or pretend to have authority or to specifically set your standards for you. No, that's not discernment. That's not God's plan. He desires that each of us, individually and for our families, if we're leading a family, to determine how best to bring Him glory based on what we see in His Word. And that's the goal. In the midst of this pagan culture, This is an essential exercise. We need His help to do it, but we also have to be committed to the process of discernment, this lost art in so many lives of so many believers. And we do this, of course, through the Word. So let's start there. And our focus will be kind of a theme verse, if you will, for our study. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Now, we could go a lot of different places for a theme verse if we wanted one. God's Word is full of passages applicable in broad terms to the topic we'll be studying. But this is the one that I've chosen. I think it's excellent for our study because it's a great springboard. It's a great foundation for us. Let's read it together, verses 13 through 16. Let's all read it together aloud, if we would. Verses 13 through 16 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." I think you can already see how wonderfully perfect this passage is that the Lord has provided for us as we look at this particular topic that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks. First of all, we need to remember who 1 Peter was written to, the purpose that Peter wrote the book, the purpose that God used in his life to inspire him to write this. And it was simply to encourage and to challenge believers in the midst of their pagan culture. These believers were in the midst of a world fully opposed to God, fully opposed to those wholeheartedly following after God. There was some suffering as a result of that. There were some spiritual struggles they were facing as a result of that. Sound familiar? That's the day we live in. This is a great encouragement and challenge for us too. We start in verse 13, preparing your minds for action. Could literally interpret that to say, girding up the loins of your mind. Now, those aren't terms we use that much anymore, but in the first century when Peter wrote this, people wore the long togas, the long tunics and so forth when they were going about their day-to-day activities. And when it was time for action of some sort, when it was time for war or time for manual labor or time for to run or something like that, they would pull that hem up and tuck it into the belt area so that it was now a knee-length garment rather than a full-length garment. And that is what this term is referring to. It's a military term. It's an action term for the work, the difficult work ahead. Be prepared, Peter is saying, for the difficult assignment of living in the midst of a pagan world, in the midst of pagan society. And that society, by the way, rejects everything that you supposedly stand for. Do you believe that that is the case? Teens, adults, prime-timers, everybody. This applies to all of us. Do we realize that this society and the things that this society produces, this society is not your friend? It is the exact opposite. We have to be prepared for action, not the opposite. He also uses the term sober-minded, being sober-minded. Getting ahead of myself here. I'll go back. There we go. Perfect. Okay, being sober-minded, being alert to the reality that we just talked about, the reality of those anti-God surroundings. Live in light of true reality. That true reality being that you now have a very, very different calling as a believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who has been saved out of the filthy aspects of our culture. Yes, we have been saved to minister to that culture. We have still been placed in it for a very different reason, though. We're not supposed to reject all aspects of the culture, but we are to have an impact on it through the grace of God, not the other way around. And this point about being alert, being sober-minded to this true reality, this is why Peter goes on to next point out in the next portion of verse 13, remember what you were saved from. I'm getting ahead of myself again. To look to God's grace. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look to God's grace. Find strength for this daily work, this daily action that's necessary, this daily battle that we face. Find strength in the fact that your Savior has already won that victory, hasn't He? He has assured that victory. He has already saved you, and now we look to His final victory, that final revelation of Christ where He will come bodily and reign on this earth. And eventually He will once and for all rid us from the very presence of sin and conquer death, sin's ultimate end, once and for all. Sin's impact on a fallen world around us will be removed in the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. That is what we have to look forward to. As pilgrims, that is our destiny. That is our future home, and what a glorious one it is. And that provides us with strength and grace and encouragement. The grace at work now in you and me enables us to look forward to that with longing confidence that, hey, I'm on the winning side. God has won this victory for me. I can set aside the distractions that I have, whether they be wholesome in and of themselves or not. Not that they're completely thrown out as having zero value or zero place whatsoever, but they certainly should not be anywhere near the top of the list on importance. And as we journey on this road toward Christ's final revelation of Himself, His final victory over the very presence of sin, we can look forward with confidence to that and look to His grace in the meantime. But as we find ourselves in the midst of this fight, we see the next step. Peter knew that there would always be a strong pull back to that from which we were saved. That's what he mentions in the next verse, verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. The passions of your former ignorance, the things from which we have been saved. Those things surround us, and perhaps nowhere else are we so bombarded with those former passions than in what we choose to allow into our eyes, what we choose to allow into our ears through the entertainment sphere all around us. This is an obedience issue. It says, as obedient children, do this. This is a command, not a suggestion. This is a command in light of the reality of who you and I are now. Why? Why should we fight the desires, the passions of sin as obedient children? Because we've been saved from those passions. There's often a major disconnect in our discernment in issues such as entertainment. And I'll explain it to you as briefly as I can. Somehow thinking that we'll be okay if we willingly and with open arms let these former passions influence us, when instead we've been called to be alert against them. Do you see how there's a little bit of a disconnect there? And again, there's some breadth of interpretation on when exactly that line is crossed, and that's understandable. And that's where standards based on God's Word come in. But that's essentially what we're tempted to do. Willingly let those former passions write in, welcome them in, when in reality, the opposite should be what we're doing. Being alert against those influences that we're willingly letting in, and in refusing that conformity. And then finally, Peter brings this to a glorious conclusion and quotes the Old Testament in doing so. Remember what you have been saved to. In other words, your new purpose, your new calling as God's people. And it could not be more different. It could be not more opposed to those former passions than it is. Look at verse 15. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written. This was told to the Jews, the Israelites, God's chosen people, thousands of years before. Be holy, for I am holy. We've been saved to holiness. We know what that word means. That means consecrated. It means set apart for a distinctly different purpose to glorify Him, even as He is holy, to consecrate ourselves also. And that's a study in and of itself, these couple of verses, about what that means and the implications and applications for our daily living. We have a distinctly different purpose, and that purpose is to reflect the character of our glorious God. Folks, we've got to start here. In this process of discernment, we have to remember this. Through our entertainment choices or the other choices, let's not this week as we ponder what we've seen from God's Word here and from modern culture, let's not just think about entertainment. This applies to a much broader spectrum of issues and topics and categories and choices. They reflect a wholehearted, do they reflect a wholehearted commitment to purity in your life? Christ-likeness, holiness to our God, is that the motivation behind our decision-making and our discernment in these areas? Or do they at times reflect the things we've been saved from, these former passions in our ignorance? When we didn't know any better, now we have been saved from those things. Is that evident? And here's how we'll tackle this challenging study before us. And I've come up with four kind of primary issues that we'll focus on once per week throughout the rest of the study. But this is where it doesn't get very much fun. This is where it's no fun, because we're going to see where some of us, and I know I've been able to put myself in this category as I've studied this anew even this week, where we've fallen short of this standard. And that's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt that pride, because we're selfish people. We have selfish desires. It's our natural tendency to pursue what makes us happy, what brings us pleasure. And sometimes we can go too far into crossing God's boundaries, principally that we see in His Word. But these are the four issues that we'll address. First of all, the priority issue. That'll be next week. This is the issue of entertainment to excess, or ascribing too much importance, ascribing too much of a priority to our entertainment and its role in our lives. Obviously, there's some breadth to that, and we'll discuss that next week together. The second one is the reality issue. And this one we may not think of quite as much, but this is what I mean by that. Focusing on how our choices in our entertainment or leisure can be an attempt to escape, an attempt to distract us in some way from true reality, both physically and spiritually. And we may not even realize that's happening in the midst of the choices that we're making about entertainment. Thirdly, and this is the one that we would probably go to first in our minds, the worldliness issue. How does my entertainment line up with the commands in Scripture to avoid conformity to the fallen world system around us? That godless, those godless aspects of our culture, those passions of our former ignorance. How are my choices lining up with those commands in Scripture to be conformed away from those things? And then finally, and probably most importantly, the worship issue. How does my entertainment affect my calling? The choices I am making, how is that affecting, perhaps adversely, my calling to live a life of worship to my God? A life, by the way, that other people can observe and be pointed to Him too. He's the only one worthy of that focus, isn't He? So those will be the topics that we'll focus on. There'll be some overlap from time to time as we go through that, but we'll tackle them overall individually over the next several weeks. The first thing next week, we will kind of have that PS to the introduction, if you will, the little quick study on entertainment or pleasure in Scripture and the role that God places on it. And then we'll dig into that first issue, the priority issue, and go from there. And in each case, again, we'll explore what Scripture says. Principles will be drawn out of what Scripture says. And then we will attempt, mostly on our own, as we go home and look at our choices through this scriptural lens, will determine the application steps and the response that needs to be made. And again, it's not an exhaustive list here by any means, but I think these issues will kind of help us hit the highlights. But as we close tonight, I'd like to close in prayer and ask the Lord again for grace and wisdom for all of us as we embark on this journey together, that He would give us that palms up attitude, that He would show us the areas where we can grow and change and give us wisdom to be specific in our own hearts with our own families on the things that may need to change as a result of what we see in God's Word in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for your Word and for its provision of all that we need. We thank you for how that sometimes your Word and its commands and its principles and what you have for us can step on our toes, because we know we are not all that we need to be. We have much growing to do in order to better reflect your Son and to bring you glory. And we pray that even in a category like this that can be a little difficult sometimes to discern, that you would give us that wisdom that we ask of you now, that you would provide for us the courage to view our choices through the lens of your Word and its principles. And we pray that you would change us, not just so we can be externally different, but that we can be motivated anew internally for the reason that we have been saved by your grace and through the work of your Son, to bring you glory forever. Help us to be holy in this exercise, even as you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.